appreciate it. And on this Mother's Day, man, I really, really am so, so thankful for my mom. I've had an opportunity just to take the last day or so and think about my mom, pray for my mom. She and my dad are on a little getaway, and just love the fact that mom and dad are still in love with each other after 42 years, and just moving right down the line, right into to the next season of life. And so, mom, I love you. I'm praying for you. Hope you and dad are having a great time today on your getaway. Kids, do your mom a favor today. Do your mom a favor. I watched my kids bring home some artwork this past week that they've been working on and give it to Allison. I was just kind of sitting over there in my chair watching it. And I mean, the artwork that they gave to Allison, it just, boy, it touched her in a huge way. So kids, draw a picture for your mom today. And just say, mom, this is the picture that I want to give to you. So don't give it to me. Just give it to your mom. Just showing your mom how much you love her. I promise you, that will be a treasure for your mom. It might even make its way onto the refrigerator when you get home today. So kids, draw a picture that you'd love to give to your mom just to show your mom how much you love her. And I really am grateful for the way my mom continues to influence my life. The way Allison's mom influences her life and just her family's life. Her mom and dad have been married 42 years as well. It's really interesting how my parents and her parents are really similar in that walk in their life. We're very, very fortunate that both of our families are still strong in that manner, that her mom and dad, my mom and dad are still together, and we just really are blessed by the influence of our parents. It's an influence that I really believe is going to last a lifetime for us, and subsequently will affect our kids. And just kind of been saying it like this in this series, that nothing impacts the trajectory and the direction of a child's life more than their relationship with their parents. Let me just say that again. Nothing impacts the trajectory and the direction of a child's life more than their relationship with their parents. For good or for bad, nothing will impact it like that relationship with your parents. I've shared with you before, even in recent days, how grateful I am that my parents made some tough decisions for our own family. When we were growing up, for myself, my brother, my sister, we were in those critical stages in our childhood, and they really made a decision to plant our family in a church that had a really strong student ministry, had a really strong kids ministry. And I'm telling you, God used that decision to make that move in such a way that it really did impact the trajectory and the direction of not only my life, but my brother's life, my sister's life, my mom and dad's lives. It really affected mine. And 2 years later, after mom and dad made that decision to plant our life in a church that was really close to our home where all of our friends went, 2 years after that, I went to the very first summer youth camp that I ever went to. I mean, it was a monumental moment in my life, and I felt God called me into the ministry during that week. And students, teenagers, if you're thinking about what you're going to do this summer, can I just give a huge, huge plug to sign up and go to camp? Scott Partridge right here. Scott, wave your hand right here. Man, Scott is our student pastor, and Scott is leading our student ministry, and he's taken a group of students this summer to Progressive Hearts Youth Camp. And if you're not sure whether or not you should go to that, go. I'm telling you, God uses a week at camp in a special way. He did it in my life. He did it in the lives of many of my friends. That song that we just sang a minute ago, I Am, that was sung by a friend of mine named David Crowder. David Crowder and I kind of had interesting parallel lives. He was in a youth ministry at First Baptist Texarkana. I was at First Baptist Woodway. And we just always would see each other at camp growing up. We became friends at Baylor. And he's still a friend of mine. His beard's a little bit longer than mine. Google David Crowder beard later, and you want to see something impressive. I'm telling you, I mean, he's got like a massive beard, but God's really used David Crowder in an incredible way, and so much of the ways that he's using his life are the things that David was taught at camp. The things that are hugely monumental in my life are the things that God taught me at camp, and I'm so grateful that my mom and dad put us in a situation, planted us in a situation where the trajectory and direction of our life could really be changed, and it changed the relationship in our family as well. It really, really, really did. And then 25 years later, after I went to that first camp back when I was 16, 25 years later, man, the path that I'm on today, the trajectory, the direction, is still being influenced. Even to this day, my relationship with my parents is still being influenced to this day. And the ways that they influence my life just totally have impacted the trajectory and the direction of my life. Those first 12 years after I responded to my call to ministry on my life, they were really focused primarily on serving and ministering to teenagers, to teenagers, to their families, to parents of teenagers. And you know, as I think back about those days, it's incredible how much insight and advice I thought I could give to parents before I actually was one. Yeah, I mean, that's just kind of ironic, isn't it? And now that I'm a parent, I'm sitting here going, I'll take all the help I can get. All the help I can get. Bring it on. I think back to those student ministry days, and I would have parenting seminars and parenting workshops. And what's so crazy to me is that those parents were actually listening to me. They were listening to me. And now I'm sitting here thinking, what was I thinking? What was I thinking back then? I wasn't a parent, but I was giving advice on how to be a better parent. And then I just kind of stepped back and I thought, you know, when I think about those days, when I think about the days now and just the different seasons of life, here's what I think it kind of boils down to. As Ecclesiastes says, there's really nothing new under the sun, is there? And you go, what are you getting at? Here's what I'm getting at. Every single parent on this planet feels clueless and helpless and in need of a lifeline. Any perfect parents in here? No. You're going, hey, if it's from a 25-year-old single guy, you got something? I'll listen to you. If it's from a 45-year-old guy or an 85-year-old guy, if you've got anything for me, I'm listening. Because I need all the help I can get. I mean, there's probably some grandparents in here that are just kind of nodding, going, man, I'm still trying to parent. Still trying to parent. You got something for me? With your little 7 and 8 year old, bring it on. Because I'm ready to listen. I'm ready to receive. And can I just tell you, I'm right there in that same boat with you. I'm in that parenting boat with you. And I've just been devouring resources over the last months or so, just preparing for our times during this series about our families and faith, and it's starting at home. And I've just been really drawn from some people like Kurt Bruner and Steve Stroop and Andy Stanley and Reggie Joyner and Doug Fields. And a lot of what I'm sharing over these 4 weeks in this series really are just the things that I've gleaned from those guys who are a little bit further down the road than I am. And it's been helping me, and I hope that it's been helping you. I hope you leave each Sunday with another tool in your parenting tool belt to use, and I pray that it'll help you. I tell you what's really been a connection for me is this metaphor that's come out of this little book called It Starts at Home, A Practical Guide to Nurturing Lifelong Faith. We've had a bunch of these copies be purchased. They're, on the back it says they're $15. We were able to get a deal. They were $10 for us because we bought them in bulk. And you can get them this morning, $10. And we're going to have an opportunity to process this together in June. I think we decided that we're gonna move the date where we talk through this because so many people have been buying this book from a Wednesday morning at 7, which some people are going, man, I didn't even know that was a part of the world at 7 o'clock. And, man, I don't really get going until there's at least four numbers on the clock or whatever. But I think we're going to move this particular one in June, probably to a 6:30 time frame, because so many people are purchasing this little book and just process it together, talk about it together. I think it's going to be on June the 11th. But we'll make sure that we get that information to you. But in Bruner and Stroop's book, they talk about this metaphor in there of a family and growing a family and raising up and nurturing kids. And they just say, man, if our kids are like these beautiful flowers, and we want to do everything that we can to nurture our kids, and we want to raise them up in the instruction and the admonition of the Lord, and we want to bring them to church, and if this represents church, and we just are trusting that the church is going to help us do that, and they just pour the water of the Word of God over our kids, that's all well and good, but if this is how we're raising our kids, that water's just going to fall off of them. And we may go, well, maybe we need to go to another place that's a little bit cooler and hipper. And so we go to the church down the road that's got, you know, a neat handle like this and a longer water spout. And maybe they'll help us do a better job of that. But the reality is this. It really doesn't matter where we go if our kids aren't rooted, aren't planted. If there's not a nurturing soil of family relationships that are coming alongside, whether it's the red church or the blue church or whatever church you want to go to, and it's important that we're working together and partnering together. And wherever you go, if you don't have some influence at home, boy, we're really missing the boat, aren't we? And so I pray that this series and this little metaphor helps us go, man, what can I do to plant my family, to nurture my family, to come alongside and allow the church to help me raise my kids, help me grow strong families. And today what I really want us to focus on is influence. I want to talk about the influence of a lifetime, relationship influence that can affect our kids for a lifetime. The Apostle Paul writes about this concept of influencing people in a letter that he wrote to a group of people. It was a bunch of moms and dads. It was grandparents, and it was single adults, and it was young and old. And Paul writes this letter to this church in the city of Corinth. And I invite you to turn with me in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians 10. If you're using the Bible in the row in front of you, it's going to be on page 968. 968, 2 Corinthians 10. In this passage, what the Apostle Paul is talking about are the ways that the Lord has led him to influence these people through his ministry that's led him to really plant this church, establish this church in the city of Corinth. And men and women, when it comes to influence, when it comes to ministry, can I just tell you this? There is no greater ministry that God desires for you to invest in than the ministry of your own family. Think about that for a second. God desires for you to invest your life in the ministry of growing a healthy family inside your own home. Before you do anything else, that's really the primary ministry he wants you and he wants me to focus on. And man, God, he allows you to be a part of a family. If you're a single adult, you're a part of a family. And he invites you to continue investing in that ministry of your family. You go, what are you talking about? I'm talking about investing in the lives of maybe a brother or a sister or a nephew or a niece or your mom or your dad, continuing to invest relationally deep roots in your own family. Your family is a huge deal to God, and God assigns you the responsibility of influencing your family with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because when it comes to faith, where does it start? It starts at home. Your faith, it starts at home, and your primary mission field is your family. And I want you to listen to these words and read them with me. Paul is writing to a family of God, the faith family, founded in Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll pick it up in verse 13. Notice how he talks about influence three times throughout this passage. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 13 says, "But we will not boast beyond limits, but will boast only with regard to the area of what? The area of influence that God assigned to us to reach even to you. For we are not overextending ourselves as though we did not reach you. For we were the first to come all the way to you with the gospel of Christ. We do not boast beyond limit in the labors of others, but our hope," here's the hope, "our hope is that as your faith increases, our area of influence among you may be greatly enlarged, so that we may preach the gospel in lands beyond you without boasting of work already done in another's area of influence. Let the one who boast, boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. Okay, three different times in this passage, three different times the Apostle Paul uses this word influence. Would you say that word with me? Influence. Say it like you mean it. Influence. Paul's writing about influence. This word influence that Paul used in the original language is the word kanon. Say that one with me. Kanon. K-A-N-O-N. Kanon. Kanon originally denoted a straight rod. So this is the closest thing to a straight rod as I could find in my office this morning, okay? A straight rod. A straight rod. Kanon talks about a straight rod. A kanon is a kind of straight rod that oftentimes would be used as in a weaver's loom. And so they would put a straight rod on one side, and as they're weaving, this would be the influence to make sure that whatever was being woven together had a straight rod to make sure that the end product was strong, that it was moving in the right direction, that the end product would really be a straight and strong and ready to go piece of fabric. As far as our families are concerned, Paul's talking about the importance here of kanon, the influence that we have in people's lives, the influence in our families, the influence that starts at home that hopefully will help weave a strong and straight fabric in our families, in the life of our children, in a desired way, in a healthy and right and God-honoring way. That's kanon. That's influence. That's the influence of a lifetime that Paul is talking about here. And it's really interesting. Paul writes several letters to different churches. When he's finishing up a letter to another church in an area called Galatia, in Galatians chapter 6, he talks about this same word, kanon. You don't have to turn there, but it'll be on the screen. Look what Paul says to the friends, the faith family at Galatia. He says, "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." And then he says something kind of strange. "For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision." What's he talking about there? We'll talk about that on June the 1st, what he's talking about there as far as this surgical procedure. Basically, what he's saying is it's not about what you do on the outside, it's what happens on the inside. That's what Paul is talking about here. That's why it goes on to say, neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new what? A new creation. He's talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ, a new creation. Then notice what he says in verse 16. "And as for all who walk by this rule," same word for influence, kanon, kanon. "As for all who walk by this kanon, this rule, this influence, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God." See, Paul here, he's talking about the kind of kanon. He's talking about the kind of influence that really takes root in our relationships. He's talking about something that's going to stand firm, something that's going to be straight, that we can build our lives around, that we can weave our lives around, that we can grow our lives straight and strong. I tell you what really came to life for me was the Mother's Day present that we gave Allison this year. We gave her trees. Trees. Yes, some people got chocolates, some people got flowers. We got trees at our house. We got trees 2 years ago because we were at Lowe's and they had a Mother's Day special. $5 saplings. We bought five of them. How big's your backyard? Not big enough for five full-grown trees. But they're not full-grown right now. We figured we'll lose some along the way. We've only lost one. Those suckers are growing. Bought a Cleveland pear. Cleveland pear tree is kind of going like this now. We're like, man, it's going to take us like 50 years to ever get any shade. Can we get something bigger back here? And so we went to Treeland. If you've never been to Treeland, that's almost like going to Disneyland, but not quite. Treeland's huge. It's a 60-acre farm in just north of Solana. And so we went up there and we were looking for trees. And I mean, we found some serious trees there. We got a lacebark elm, and I surprised her with a magnolia tree, because when she's a little girl, she would go to her grandmother's and she'd climb up in the magnolia tree that just spread out all over the place, and she would read. I'm going, I don't know if we've got enough backyard for that to happen, but there's one on sale right there, and it looks kind of good, and you've been an amazing mom. And so there you go. And so we fixed it up, and they were able to bring their crew out there, and we set the date, and they're going to come. This is the part that, this is Happy Father's Day. They're going to come and plant it if I pay them a little bit more. And I'm like going, yes, you are speaking my love language, tree land men. Come on. Come on out. And that way, if you hit my sprinkler system, I don't feel bad about it. You'll just fix it. And so they come, and they wheel up that day. And I mean, they're doing their thing, and they're... And we got a big lace bark elm on this side, and we got a magnolia tree. You're going, what are you going to do with all those other saplings? I don't know. We're not that far down the road yet, but we're not worried about it right now. We got some shade. And man, they brought out this wire stuff, and they brought out this hose tubing stuff. And I'm just like sitting there going, check this out, man. Watch what they're going to do. And I mean, these guys are, and they stake those trees down. And I'm just like going, look at that. Anybody remember that storm that happened the other day? My trees weren't moving. They were staked. And I said, hey, guys, I know I've already paid you for that. Could I pay you a little bit more? Because I've got a Cleveland pear over there that kind of looks like a lowercase r. You got anything for that? And he said, sure. And he went out and he brought this piece of PVC pipe about that big around and stuck it right next to it. And boy, I mean, he wound that thing around there, and he did his hosing thing with those stakes, and that sucker was straight. And I just went, look at that. And here's what he said. That rod needs to get to know that tree, at least for the next year. Don't move it. I said, yes, sir. And see, what I think is going to happen is there's a canone happening in the backyard. We've got an influencer happening in the backyard. And it's helping a little Cleveland pear to grow strong. And man, I just think about moms and the influence of a mom. And I read a great quote this morning as I was praying and preparing from Dorothy Canfield Figures, who says, a mother is not a person to lean on, but a person to make leaning unnecessary. In other words, moms, you're meant to be a canone that gets real close to that bent Cleveland pear that you call a kid and grow close with it. And over time, it won't be as necessary. Now, there's some seasons it's going to be real necessary. But you never quit influencing your kids, good or bad. And so I'm just sitting here thinking about that, going, wow. As we think about our own families, as we think about our own kids, if you're a parent, if you're a grandparent, if you're a mom on this Mother's Day, if you're a dad on this Mother's Day, would you be willing to ask a question today? What am I doing? What am I doing to nurture my child's relationship with me as their parent? What am I doing? What am I doing to nurture my child's relationship with me as their parent? In other words, what kind of canone is happening because of what I'm doing in my family? What kind of things are happening? Because you see, that tree rod can't just be close. It's got to be tied to that little Cleveland pear right now. There's got to be a relational connection to influence the trajectory and the direction of the growth pattern of that little tree. And mom and dad, grandparents, guardians, as parents, the things that we do, good or bad, are going to impact the trajectory and the direction of our kids' lives. So could we just ask the question, what are we doing and what can I do to nurture my child's relationship with me? Let me just give you two reasons to really begin to invest and engage in those relationships those relationships with your kids. Two reasons to invest and engage in the relationship with your kids. The first thing is this: when it matters the most, the quality of your relationship with your children will determine the weight of your influence. Think about that. When it matters the most, the quality of your relationship with your children will determine the weight of your influence. In other words, no relationship or very little relationship with your mom or your dad is going to equal very little weight regarding the influence in that relationship that you have. Conversely, the stronger the relationship is going to equal the greater the weight of influence. Now, parents, we talked about this a little bit last week. Parents, we always want to sit in this seat of influence when it comes to parenting our kids. We want to sit in that influence seat. And what gives parents influence in the lives of their children is really that weight that's tied back to their relational connection and engagement. We've got great, great, great influence over our kids' lives, particularly when they're little, because that has everything to do with size and position. Size and position. You go, what are you talking about? When Jack and Lucy are little bitty babies, man, I'm bigger. I'm dad. I can just pick you up and put you where I want you. My size and my position influences you in a huge way. Really, it kind of controls you in a huge way, particularly at that point in their lives. I can just pick you up, put you where I want you. But eventually, that size and position thing is going to wane. It's going to go away. And what I'm suggesting is this, and I'm not an expert in this. Can I just tell you, I'm right there with you. I'm trying to do this. I'm speaking and preaching to you today right out of where I'm living, okay? So I'm not an expert. I'm failing forward fast, okay? So you're not hearing an expert. You're hearing a fellow failure that's just trying to share with you where I'm at, okay? So don't feel bad. We're on this thing together, okay? Say okay. Okay? I need you. You need me, right? We're a happy family, right? Some days. And so what I'm learning is this. If in our parenting, we do not quickly shift. We don't quickly shift while we have this size and position advantage from controlling relationship, controlling responsibility, to beginning to influence a relationship. If we don't begin to shift from controlling to influence, then what's going to probably happen is we're going to continue in that pattern of control from size and position long after our size and position are not so much a factor. Because our kids, my kids are growing up, are yours? Nobody's staying the same age, right? And as our kids grow older, if we try to parent out of a control because I'm bigger and I said so and I'm dad, and there's never really been a shift from control to influence, I believe what's going to happen is we're going to erode away the opportunity to influence our kids over the long haul. And you know what I think is going to happen? Because I've talked with many of you, that is going to haunt us. That's going to haunt us. Why? Because when they need our influence the most in their life, we will have eroded that influence away. Why? Because we never transitioned from control of a responsibility to an influence in a relationship. And that haunts me. And it's where some of us are living today. And some of us are sitting there going, oh my goodness, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. Where there is no relationship, there one day will be no influence. Where there is no relationship, there one day will be no influence. Happy Mother's Day. Why would you preach such a difficult sermon? Because it's just the truth. And we're all in this thing together, right? There's no moms or dads or single adults or parents out there on an island. At least you weren't created to be that way. That's why we talk so much about being in community here. Because it's walking together in a communal relationship with the Lord Jesus and in a communal relationship with others who are trying to follow him. And we're saying we're in this thing together. Let's walk together. Let's just tell the truth together. And where there is no relationship, there one day will be no influence. And here's what I fear happens. See if you relate to this. Parents who lose influence, here's what they resort to. Guilt tactics and bribery. Some of you are going, ooh, you've been reading my mail, haven't you? You go, what are you talking about? Parents who lose influence resort to guilt tactics. You never come to see me anymore. You never call me anymore. Or bribery. If you'll come by the house, I've got something for you. If you'll come home for Christmas this year, I'll pay for it. If you do this, I'll let you borrow the car. Guilt and bribery. And can I tell you what I think kids are thinking who live in that? I think what kids are thinking in that scenario with their parents who don't have much influence over their lives, but who are feeling a heaping of guilt and a constant bribery with strings attached is this: how do I quit feeling guilty and how do I get what they have? And that's just not the ideal relationship that God intends for families to experience. But I realize that may be where you are today. That's why we're talking about it today. And maybe where you are today, you know what? You don't have to stay there. That doesn't have to be the last chapter in your story. God is the author of your faith, it says in Hebrews. He is authoring your story, and he invites you to co-author the next chapter with him. That should give some people some hope. You're going, you don't understand my family. No, but God does. And he's authoring something beautiful, even when it looks real difficult right now. That's that whole I Am song we just sang about a few minutes ago. I am holding on to you in the middle of the storm. I am an amazing author. And he will give you a story to pass down that's beautiful and healthy and that will grow strong families. You go, I just don't know how to get there. Hang with me. I'll give you a word in a minute. For some of you, though, that may mean that some forgiveness needs to be offered. Some forgiveness needs to be accepted. Some relearning, some restaking needs to take place in this season of your life. Some new boundaries between you and your kids. Some healthy boundaries. It may mean some intentional staking of prayer and serving and communication needs to take place. And some influence, some canone needs to be restaked as relationships get reconnected. Can I just share with you something that's meant a whole lot to me out of God's word? It's something else that Paul wrote to a church, not in Galatia, not in Corinth, but in Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul is writing and he points back to this relationship concept, this dynamic model between parents and kids. And Paul's writing here in Ephesus. And in this part, he's going to address fathers, but man, it goes straight to mothers as well. And if you want to have great influence with your kids, don't do verse 4. Because Ephesians 6, verse 4 says this out of the NIV. NIV says it like this: fathers and mothers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Exasperate. Would you say that word with me? Exasperate on three. 1, 2, 3. Exasperate. Just sounds like a weighty word, doesn't it? Exasperate. What does that mean? What's Paul talking about? Exasperate. I think exasperate means this. Exasperate means you've angered your kids by abusing your size and position. Some kids are going, I feel exasperation. Because it feels like mom and dad have abused their size and position. And I feel exasperated. I don't feel cultivated. I feel exasperated. Exasperate means in your house, your kids can't ever win. Maybe it's because you're just a little bit faster with your words. You think and process a little bit quicker. And when you try to talk or they try to talk to you, you turn their words on them, and then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, man, what? And then as you get older, your kids get smarter, and then you play the passive-aggressive thing with them. Some of you are parents going, that's me and my parents. And you feel exasperated as a 50-year-old. Exasperate. And see, relationally, what I think happens is if we exasperate our kids, it's like taking a pair of wire cutters and all those things that have been staked, they just get clipped. And all of a sudden, those relational strands aren't there anymore. And a storm comes and you just kind of start blowing again. That's exasperation. Reggie Joyner interviewed thousands of college students. And he just asked them, college student, what exasperates you most about your relationship with your parents? The number one response from college students about what exasperates them the most with their parents is hypocrisy and what they see their parents saying and how they see their parents living. The number two thing that exasperates them were the inconsistencies that they saw in their parenting. You parent me like this, but you parent sister like this. You expect this from the guys and you expect this from the girls. And it exasperated them. And what Paul's saying in Scripture is, hey, how can we move from exasperating to bringing them up, to nourishing them in a relationship that's going to last a lifetime? Mom and dad, your approach with your kids isn't really meant to exasperate them. It's meant to be a replenisher, a nourisher, a canon in their life that ties close relationally and helps them to grow strong until one day they don't have to lean on you as much anymore because you've done such a great job. And I really believe that our best bet in preparing our kids for the future is going to come through relational avenues. You go, what are you talking about? What does that look like in your life? Again, I'm not perfect and I'm failing forward fast, but what we're trying to do is have some intentional daddy-daughter dates, guys' weekends, mother-daughter days, those relational things that they remember, those relational things that they go, yeah, there's something good happening there. And trying to shift away from I'm bigger and more powerful than you, I can control you. And trying to give them a little more freedom, not so much where they hang themselves, but at least where they can own it. And some days we do okay on that, and some days we go, scratch that off the list, we're not ever going to do that again. That great theologian, Bill Cosby, said it like this: I brought you in this world, I can take you out and make another one just like you. Anybody ever heard that one? Yeah. Well, that's true for a little while. But you'll lose your influence if you try to live with a, I'm bigger and more powerful than you. And as soon as we can, I think we got to move off of the I'm bigger and more powerful and figure out how we can begin to transfer and cultivate a nurturing influence of relationship. Because if I keep parenting with this is my mantra, as long as you live in my house, my fear is this: one day they're going to hear me and they're not going to come back home. And I don't think the parenting goal is to control our kids. I think the goal of parenting is to influence our kids. Why? Because before they can turn around, they're going to be making the biggest decisions of their life. And you can't control that. Dads, what if we weren't content on grading ourselves by just being a good provider, but by how many relational strands we have in with our kids? We need some help there. Moms, you're really good at that. Dads, we're not so good at that. We think, you got a roof over your head and food in your belly and shoes on your feet. You're good. That's a win. It is a win. But how can we go beyond that? How can we move that needle? I told you there was two reasons to invest and engage in the relationships with your kids. We invested a lot of time with that first one. When it matters most, the quality of your relationship with your children will determine the weight of your influence. The second thing is this: your relationship with your kids will impact the quality of their future relationships. Your relationship with your kids will impact the quality of their future relationships. You're going, what are you talking about there? I'm talking about this. Everything you do to invest relationally with your kids now is going to influence the decisions that they're making later relationally. Think about that. Who they date is going to affect you, isn't it? Who becomes their mate one day, that's going to affect you, isn't it? Who they run with, that's going to affect you, isn't it? And maybe if we can do something today to invest relationally in them now, that may have an influence in them then. And if we can influence them then, we influence all their relationships then. But to influence them then, you got to impact them when? Now. In other words, if I'm cultivating a relationship with a 7 and an 8-year-old now, maybe it can have an effect on who they're running with as a 17 or an 18-year-old then. And some of you are going, you can't control a 17 or an 18-year-old. I've got them. I'm just parenting where I'm at right now. And I'm going, I don't really want to control them. I just want to influence them. I just want to influence them. And some of you may be sitting there going, I feel like I've just lost it. I feel like I've lost them. Because I've got the 17 and 18-year-old. I don't have the 7 and 8-year-old. Or I've got the 27 and the 28-year-old. But what do you got for me? Here's the word for you. Maybe you need to just serve your way back in. What are you talking about? If they're up, grown, and gone, and you feel like everything's been clipped away, it's hard to keep the door shut. With no strings attached, you just want to serve them. You're bathing them in prayer. You've got to figure out your own context on this. I don't know what it is for you. But if you keep serving and you keep loving and you keep reaching out, and some of you may be going, I've never even done that. What am I supposed to do now? Even those little saplings in the backyard started from an acorn. You may just have to start planting afresh. You may just have to own some regrets. And it may take a long, long time. But you keep offering to serve. Hard to keep a door closed if you're just offering. No strings attached, no bribery, no guilt. What's that look like for you? I don't know. Maybe it's offering to water the trees while they're on vacation. Maybe it's offering to host your grandkids and you've never done that, so mom and dad can go on a vacation this summer. I don't know what it is for you. But man, when you're offering to serve and you're consistent in that, it's going to get frustrating. It may be because you've got a kid that's exasperated. Just hang in there. You keep walking. Don't give up. And you keep giving your family and your kids to the Lord. You'd be surprised how he'll bring a canoe into your kids' lives. And maybe that gets to be you, and maybe it doesn't get to be you. And if you're the one who's feeling real bent and exasperated, I challenge you to crack that door. Give mom, give dad a second chance. What would happen if you reached out to them? Let's pray together. Lord, this is just a heavy subject on a lot of hearts, mine in particular. And I don't have all the answers. I just know that you do. And we lean into you and we need you. And Lord, I know even on a Mother's Day, there's a lot of heaviness about things that maybe haven't gone right over the years. And so, Lord, would you just bring some influence back into our lives that we might be an influence for good over the long haul? Lord, would you restake us today? Would you give fresh starts today? Would you bless moms and bless dads and bless kids today? Help us trade in exasperation for fresh starts? Lord, I love these people in this room. And I want to see them grow tall and straight and strong. And I pray, Lord, that we'd walk with you, that we'd trust you, and that we'd give you all of who we are. And that you'd write new stories for our lives. And Lord, that even today we could go to our moms and tell them how much we love them and how much we appreciate them. And we could rise and call them blessed. They've been a canon in our life, an influence, and that's an influence that'll last a lifetime. Lord, thanks for being great. Thanks for being God. Thanks for being perfect. We love you today, and we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Would you stand with me? I want to give you a blessing, and then Brian's going to lead us out of here. Heavy subject, but this is heavy on my heart. And if some of you need some help, come see me in the coffee. Jot down on your little Connect card and say, man, I'd love to get with you and just talk about my family. I'd love nothing more. Others of you are going, man, I need to take a next step. Come see me in the coffee. We'll take a next step together. Would you hold your hands out? I want to give you a blessing. You're the people of God. He's got a plan for your life. He wants to influence you in a way that will last a lifetime, and subsequently he wants you to influence others to grow strong and straight. You need him, and we need each other. Let's walk. Let's grow. Let's be who God wants us to be, and let's influence our relationships with our kids and with our parents in amazing ways as we trust him and pray to him and believe that he is who he says he is. He's the great influencer, and he longs to influence you and for you to be an influence to others. Pray this in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.